the president of hockey operations, and I said this earlier, still has kind of a different sound. I'm not sure I'm even comfortable with it yet. We'll ask our next guest if he's comfortable with it. He is the director and president of hockey operations for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He is John Davidson. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, fellas?
We're doing fantastic. How are things?
Good. Real good. Thank you. Real
nice.
Fine.
So I was saying it still seems a little bit because it's new to me still, the connection between John Davidson and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Do you feel 100% at home yet?
Yeah, I do. It's been great here, actually. It's I really enjoyed, as you know, I grew up in Calgary, played junior hockey there, spent a couple years in St. Louis as a player, then was traded to New York and spent 28 years there, and really enjoyed that. That was a lifetime experience in all areas. Went back to St. Louis for 7 years, and myself and my family had the time of our lives there. It was outstanding. Things change, and we're in Columbus, and it's like it's a city very similar to St. Louis. It's a club that's got a lot of upside. It's a great city to live in, outstanding city. I love golf, and there's not a better area for golf anywhere. It's just a good place, good people, easy to get around, and we've thoroughly enjoyed our time here, so I've been a pretty lucky guy along the way.
Yeah, again, I know it's questions that you've answered long before, but just the departure from St. Louis, was that something, I mean, were you craving a change? I know when things change in the hierarchy of franchises, these things tend to happen, but just your perspective on where you sat with the move.
No, it was not craving a change at all. We enjoyed ourselves there, but when new ownership comes into place and there's new budgets and new ways of doing business, you have to have a meeting of the minds and come to some conclusions. And we had some difference of opinions and decided that it would be best if I moved on and they did things differently. And it was not it was a good thing. It was a real good thing. I had a great time there. I think that when I look back at what we did, we made some mistakes. Of course, everybody does. But we took our time, did it the right way, and replenished the St. Louis Blues. That's a good club, even though they lost to L.A. in the first round. That's a good hockey club, and it should be a good hockey club for a long time, and I'm proud of that. So knowing that there was a difference of opinions, I decided, you know what, it's just time to go. And then I had some decisions to make. Was I going to move back to the New York area? Was I going to retire and head to Windermere out in D.C.? Was I going to try and stay in the game? I didn't know what to do, and then I sat on it, thought about it, maybe even getting back into television, which I thoroughly enjoyed that lifestyle and the people I worked with. But when it came right down to it and Columbus came calling, it sounded good. I got into Columbus, took a good look at what they had to offer, the strength of ownership, the facility, the future of the club, and I said, you know what, I'm jumping right back in. And my wife, who also is from Calgary, mm-hmm. She's always up for an adventure type of thing. So away we go, and we're here. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, this is a really good place to live. It's a great group of owners, and I think the future's bright here.
Again, a question, and then I promise you we'll move on. A question you've answered before, but just to kind of double back on it, you are from Calgary, your wife's from here. Was there ever any discussion with the Flames in a potential move here?
No, none whatsoever. Zero. There was some rumors that came out, and I tried to tell the people that were involved with the rumors not to go with them because they were nothing more than rumors, but of course that didn't work. So stories started, and it created a bit of a wildfire. I felt bad for Ken King because he is a friend of mine, and I called Ken and we talked about it, and that was the end of it. So Calgary's gone on their way, I've gone on my way, and I wish the Flames all the best. It's when I lived there and I was a broadcaster doing Flames games for a couple of years, I have an affinity for the franchise. The days of Cliff Fletcher and the Al McInneses when they were there with Joey Nieuwendyk and Kent Nilsson and Mikey Vernon, the whole thing. So I watched them closely, and I wish them all the best.
Yeah, rumors certainly grow, but that's what we do. We're just vultures, aren't we?
I was a member of the media for a long time.
I was going to say, those media guys, eh, John?
So you go into Columbus. Can you make a comparison? I mean, this group that's there right now, you had a great ending to the season, didn't quite get in, with the cupboards that are there, with the way Scott Housen kind of set you up, and the team you have and the picks you have, at what point do you compare this to the St. Louis Blues in their rebuilding process?
I think we were ahead of St. Louis when I got here. When I first said that, people disagreed with me, but I know that the blue line itself is much better than what we had when we started in St. Louis. When we started in St. Louis, they were 30th. When we started here, they were 30th. But the blue line here is bigger, better, deeper, and that helps you stay in games. Bobrovsky, after the first two or three weeks of the season, just really got into a groove and stayed there. And I expect that, you know, we're in negotiations with Bob. I think they'll come together, and we're going to have a goaltender here that's going to do the job for us. Up front, very similar. A team that knew how to work, a team that knew how to back check and play systems, but not gifted scoring-wise. And so in a lot of ways, the similarities are there regarding forwards, but on the blue line, much better in Columbus at that point. In goal, we ended up with Manny Legacy, who really played well for us in St. Louis. But here, Bobrovsky, who I would think, and I'm not 100% sure, but I would think would win the Vezina Saturday night, tomorrow night. So that's pretty good goaltending.
More on Bobrovsky, and I know this is an organization that went through, and not to say they're the same guy, but went through a similar thing with Steve Mason. Just busted out of the gates in a huge, huge way, almost won the Vezina, won the Calder, had 10 shutouts, and it was very reminiscent last season what this guy did. You said you're talking. What do you think a deal eventually looks like that would be comfortable with you guys?
Well, I mean, anything's open at this point, from a short-term deal to a long-term deal to arbitration. But and we're discussing all aspects of it. I think with Bobrovsky, I see a good young goaltender. His work habits match those of Mike Richter and Dominic Hasek and people like that. He works, and I mean, he doesn't stop working every day, and that's a great part of his success. He's fairly young in the fact that his success rate last season was not a full season because we didn't have a full season. He does not have a lot of playoff experience. So there's a lot of pros and cons. Do you buy the future and pay for the future when you're not sure what the future is? We'll see. So we're trying to work with his agent and discuss all those different factors. We'll get something done. What it'll be yet, I really don't know.
John Davidson, president of hockey operations of the Columbus Blue Jackets, is our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It felt like, John, in some ways, the last 2 months of this season, you were able to get more good publicity, feel-good stories, momentum, than maybe in the last two or three years combined. Marian Gaborik waves a no-trade clause to come to Columbus. You go on that amazing run and a chase for a playoff spot that 1 point would have been a difference for you. It's just a little, you know, I look at the excitement that your fans, it felt like it was rejuvenation. And not that you'd ever do a deal just to try and sell tickets or improve a mood, but it sure doesn't hurt when you have a star like Marian Gaborik who says, yes, I want to play there.
Yeah, it was interesting because that deal was consummated late on trade deadline day, and we all had to make quick decisions. And Gaborik was, he's a professional. We talked to his agent, Ron Salser. We talked to Gabby himself. The Rangers had a guy outside of his apartment in Manhattan to sign the deal to get it to the league office before the deadline. So it was minutes apart from not happening. But he's a good guy. He's certainly a player that I think will come in here going into his last year of his contract and want to get the job done. It gives us another element, as our power play wasn't very successful last season. And I think it tells you that there's some trust with players, the city of Columbus. He had heard a lot from Vinny Prospo, who played here last year, about how good it is. The whole thing, it's a really good place to live. Great facility. For people with families and kids, outstanding schools in this city, things along those lines. So we were happy with that. I think going 19-5-5, I think what the numbers were down the stretch, even though we missed, and it was very, very frustrating to miss, but it reconnected our franchise with the city, which means its fans. Our season tickets are already ahead of last year, and here we are in mid-June, so that's a good thing. But I think more than anything else, it was the growth of our coaches. It was the growth of our players. And those last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, they were like playoff games for us. I mean, everything was on the line. We couldn't afford to lose. And our kids and our players came through, and they played hard, and they were well respected within our community for the way we played. And that's something for us to build on. We can't sit on it because we didn't make the playoffs, which means we didn't win anything. But at least we set ourselves a base, and we've changed the culture, and the culture here is good right now.
Talking to some people down the stretch last year when you guys were playing so well, they kept talking about your blue line, and maybe the most underrated in the NHL. Fedor Tuten, Jack Johnson, Nikitin, these guys are so big and take up so much space and are so hard to play against. And going into next year, I think a lot of people forget that you have a guy in Ryan Murray that is up and coming. You know, maybe touch on your blue line and the health of the youngster as he comes into his first year.
Well, Murray didn't play much last season because of the shoulder, but he is in great shape right now and been working out. He had very successful surgery, and we expect a lot out of him. He's going to be young. There'll be growing pains, but we're going to deal with that. Another young player that played for us out of nowhere that was simply outstanding was a guy by the name of Dalton Prout. He had played in the minors. He was a former sixth-round pick. He shows up, and my goodness, big, tough, mobile, can make passes, not just the first option pass, but the second and third option, and he was a real fitter for us. Throw Wisniewski in there with his shot on the power play. A lot of teams talked about our club and how we'd be a club that was hard to score against, not only because of Bobrovsky, who deserves credit, but we have a big defense and people can't get to the net too often to get second and third scoring chances. Big defense from kill penalties, big defense from block shots. Our team played a game that we knew we had to be good defensively and defense first, and we all bought into it. So, with Bobrovsky on the charge here to win the Vezina, it's also, I think, not only Bob, but it was a real good team effort.
John Davidson, the president of hockey operations for the Columbus Blue Jackets, is our guest. We are eerily close to the NHL draft. It's kind of snuck up on a lot of us. Here in Calgary, 3 first-round picks. You in Columbus, 3 first-round picks, 14, 19, and 27. For a long time, I think the Blue Jackets were one of those teams where they'd be high in the draft selection, and it was just best player available because goal, defense, forward, there were plenty of areas of need. Do you feel like your approach has changed at all?
Well, our area of need would be forwards, skill forwards for sure. We're very deep with what you'd term bottom six defensive forwards, workers. But I think we're going to go into this draft looking with all options open. When you have 3, you're in a position to maybe move up in the draft, maybe move back in the draft. You're also in a position where maybe you can make a trade at the draft. This is a unique year, knowing that the cap is coming down. Some teams that don't have picks are going to want picks. Maybe they have too many players under contract and they're above budget or above the cap level that it's going to be. So we're doing a lot of homework right now, as are all the general managers in the league, and try to get a game plan in place. And then you either strike before the draft or you'd be very flexible getting ready at the draft to do things. And I think it's going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be interesting. And our concept going into this thing is our door is wide open. We may end up with the 3 that we have right in place. We may package a couple and move up. We may package one and move back for a couple more later. We also have the 44th pick, too, which is so we got 4 in the top 44 in a deep draft. Or we may try and find a player that's going to help us now and make a deal. So it's going to be interesting, real interesting.
And isn't it almost eerie? You know, 14, 19, and 27, St. Louis in 07, you picked 13, 18, and 26.
Yeah.
I mean, you were right there. Do you draw? Yeah. Are you able to draw a bit of experience from that situation?
Yes. Yeah, and Jarmo Kekalainen was running our draft. That was in Columbus in 07, I think. And, yeah, I think there's a lot. And we got 3 good players. We got Perron, I think. I believe we got Eller, who we traded to Montreal for Halak, and Ian Cole, a defenseman who probably will play in St. Louis next year. And Eller, I think, is going to become a very good player, already is a good player with Montreal. So, yeah, those are drafts that can make a difference depth-wise for your organization. And I think that from what I've been told, and I'm not a super scout by any means, but this draft is a deeper draft. So you might even find better players.
And you know what? There's an unpredictability factor here, too. You talk about moving up or moving down. Patrick Waugh is calling the shots now in Colorado. McTavish in Edmonton. Jimmy Neal in Dallas. The Flames have three picks. I would think they'd be more than willing to talk about moving up or moving down. There's hard, and even Steve Yzerman is still relatively new in Tampa Bay. There's some general managers who are in this mix. We don't really know if they're, you know, are they riverboat gamblers? Are they very conservative? It'll be an interesting day in New Jersey for sure.
I think so, and even the days leading up, there'll be a lot of homework done and put into place, and you never know, somebody might say, you know what, let's just do the deal now and not wait in case it doesn't happen. And so, with that being said, some people may try to go ahead and make these types of deals at the draft or before, as opposed to waiting for a free agency. When free agency comes around, you just don't know. I mean, you may have all the aspirations in the world of doing the right thing, but the players and their groups may say, I don't want to go there, I want to go somewhere else. And, you know, so that's more of a crapshoot than anything else. I really think this is going to be interesting and fun. That's kind of the sense that I get.
One more for me, John. The name Ryan Johansson, you talk about rumors. This is a kid that other teams kind of say they might have interest in. Where are the Blue Jackets at with their former first-round pick at the moment?
Well, what's interesting is a lot of teams, everybody calls. You all talk to each other. And then you ask for players, and a lot of people ask for Ryan Johansson. He fits in well with us. He had a good year. He started slowly in the American League during the lockout, came to us, then got sent down for a short period of time, then came back and was great. He was outstanding when he played against Getzlaff, outstanding against Joe Thornton, outstanding against Sedin. He's a big man, wins faceoffs, has more to learn. He's only 20, 21 years of age. You don't find these people very often, and he's a work in progress because we've got to get him to be even better than what he's already been. The low level of his future in his career is an outstanding third-line center, and his high level will be a one or a two center. And so we'll work with Ryan, keep him working, getting him bigger and stronger and faster like we do with all our players, and see where the ceiling is. But you just don't find people like this. This is a big monster of a player who already understands the defensive side of the game, frustrates and does a great job by winning draws against the best. We got to, you know, get him to mature a little more offensively, and we're in that process. He's just a youngster.
It is always great catching up with you, John. A real treat. I know everybody here in Calgary is very fond of you, going back to the Calgary Centennial days. The Lethbridge Sugar Kings, I see on your on your page there as well. Not many people, once a Sugar King, always a Sugar King. Is that fair to say?
Well, you bet.
Nice.
Quick story. John Chapman was coaching us. Lanny McDonald was playing for us, playing the Edmonton Maple Leafs 19 seconds into the third period of game one in Lethbridge, losing 2-1, and the rink burned down.
You know it's not your night.
They were burned right to the ground. We stood across the street in our equipment watching it burn. It was unbelievable. I appreciate it, guys. Love Calgary, miss Calgary. I can hardly wait to get out to the lake.
You mean that's never happened to you again in your career? Just once?
But it left an image. Yeah. It'll always be there.
Hey, John, have a great we'll see you in New Jersey. Really appreciate it. Take care. Yeah.
Take care. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
John Davidson, president of hockey operations, Columbus Blue Jackets. One of the best you'll ever get.